The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, we do not always understand the things that happen in our scriptures. There are sometimes things so ordinary and then other things so fantastic that we cannot even grasp them. But we know you and your faithfulness as proclaimed to us in scriptures. And so we thank you for the story of the ascension. May our minds and our hearts be open to what it is you would teach us through this story today. Amen. Please be seated. There's a policy in the Episcopal Church for when a priest leaves a church, known in some dioceses as leaving well or clergy leave taking. A priest leaving a church must agree not to serve members of the congregation pastorally, not to officiate weddings, baptisms, or funerals of members of the parish, except by specific invitation of the interim or the new rector. The departing priest should not plan to attend social functions or worship services at the church unless specifically invited by the new priest. And the former priest should not engage in discussions of current parish matters. Rest assured, I do not bring any of this up because I'm going anywhere. And my predecessor, Derek, certainly took his leave with grace and love. Rather, I'm bringing up these policies because of the principle that lies behind them. That if a new priest is going to be able to exercise their ministry, they have to have space to actually do so. These policies exist so that a church can continue into the future without being shackled to what has been. The patterns that a leader and a community establish together have to be interrupted in order for new ones to flourish. Leaving well policies are about bringing what has been to a close so that a new chapter can begin. It is these policies that came to mind when reading about the ascension this week. Jesus rose from the grave on Easter and visited with his disciples for 40 days, and he spoke with them about what was to come of their work that was ahead, continuing to proclaim good news, blessing and healing and offering forgiveness in his name. But here's the thing. In order for any of this to happen, he had to leave.
He had to interrupt the patterns to which they had grown accustomed. He had to go away. I mean, if you were a disciple and encountered someone in need, and you knew Jesus was right around the corner, wouldn't you just go grab him rather than trying to meet the need yourself? Because I know I would. I'm sure he could meet this need better than I ever could. It's just that as long as that was an option, it would be hard for the disciples to commit fully to the ministry entrusted to them. Hard for them to believe that their best was good enough when somebody else was around who could do it perfectly. And so it was time for him to go. Because his ministry was never just about the miracles and the healing, but about the lives and hearts changed by all who experienced and witnessed his work, who heard his words of love proclaimed, who saw him lifted high upon the cross, all to whom he appeared in his resurrected body for these last 40 days. If he stayed around, nothing would ever change. But with his departure came the invitation for all of those witnesses of his work to take it up and to carry it on for themselves. Jesus' time on earth was never just about what he did while he was here. It was always about showing us how we are to live, showing us what it looks like to live into the kingdom of heaven here and now. To be honest, the verses in Acts make it clear that the disciples still don't totally get this. Jesus gathers them together one last time, and they excitedly ask, "So, is this our chance? Are we finally going to get to be the ones in power?" They're still thinking, after everything they've seen and heard and experienced with Jesus, that the coming of the Messiah is about toppling worldly powers and being in charge. They're likely still envisioning him leading the charge as they achieve glory and power. They're still not understanding him about what the kingdom of heaven is like, and that they're going to be the ones to help bring it about, not by power and might, but by carrying on his mission of love. He tells them they will receive all the power they need to do this. And then all of a sudden, as he's making this point, he starts rising into heaven, and he's gone. How's that for a way to make a point? He's just gone. I have to imagine that this is the beginning of one of the hardest stages of their ministry that the disciples have experienced. The 10 days between when Jesus departs and when they will be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, empowered for their ministry on the day of Pentecost. With Jesus' sudden departure, the disciples find themselves in a time of transition, a state with which you at St. Andrew's might be quite familiar. Because in reality, it's been almost 3 years since things were normal. Because even after you called me as your new rector, we found ourselves in this long season of COVID. We'll hear next week about Pentecost, about the rushing of wind and the presence of the Holy Spirit crashing onto the scene, filling them with power and wisdom to do the work to which Jesus has called them. But today, the disciples are finding themselves thrust into yet another transition, where nothing that has been can be again. And we find ourselves in a similar place today. As the tide of COVID is receding, there's this urge to get back to what has been, but the reality is we can't go back to the way things have been. The world has been changed. We have been changed by all we have been through. And in this place comes a real opportunity. So often in a church, the way things have always been holds a grip on the church, even more powerful than if a former priest is hanging around on the fringes. It hangs over our shoulders, and we defer to it like the disciples would have done if Jesus was still there all the time. This last 15 months that none of us would have chosen have still managed to present us with an opportunity to get out from underneath the expectations of the way things have always been and to consider how we choose to move forward. It's just like the apostles who never would have chosen to have Jesus float away into the sky, but it happened. And so they had to chart a new path forward. They carried forward all they had learned from Jesus, incorporated the wisdom of the past into their decisions, but indeed charted a new path forward, the establishment of the church, which we carry on today. We have a rare opportunity here in the church and in our own lives too. As things reopen and get back to some semblance of normal, to develop new patterns, practices, and rhythms for our lives. The old ones were interrupted by COVID in a way many of us have not experienced before, and we find ourselves, like the apostles on that day of ascension, with a choice about how we will move forward from here. What is it that we will carry on? What is it that we have set down during these last months that we have no need to take up again? What new thing might God invite us to try in its place? The story of the ascension, like the place we are in now, reminds us that loss and opportunity are sometimes intertwined, that the departure of what has been opens up for us the possibility of what could be. The work that lies before us as a church and in our individual lives is an opportunity to reflect, or to use a theological word, to discern. What are the essentials that must remain? What are the things that were not serving us well before that we do not wish to resume? And what are the new things waiting for us in this next stage? The apostles were just a matter of days from being filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, of being empowered for the work that was to come that they never could have imagined. We, their descendants in faith, have received this same gift in our baptism and have been given the power and the wisdom to do amazing things together, to transform the world with love. The rest of the New Testament following this point gives us the account of where the Holy Spirit led these first apostles. And I can't wait to see where she leads us. Amen.